This is the Automotive Repair Podcast Network.
Welcome to another episode of Business by the Numbers. I'm your host, Hunt Demers, CPA with Parmelis & Associates. This is the third part of a three-week series on the new benchmark report. And if you haven't listened to the first two, you don't need to stop now. You can probably listen to these in any order. But I have to tell you that it is live. I'm going to put the link in the show notes. And really, the whole idea of doing these three-part episode is to get you guys interested so that you can make your own decisions on it. First week, we talked about some of the trends, what we're seeing from 2024 to 2025 numbers for the 26 report. What we saw last week on it was what some of the top shops are doing and what we could learn from them. And then on the other side of it, what some of our bottom shops were doing and how can we avoid that, or where were those differences? We touched on this a little bit, but what we're going to talk about this week is your shop is different. If you are a diesel shop in Kansas, you're going to be a lot different than a European shop in Maine. And we're going to kind of get into some of those regional categories and different categories of service this week. Is your Euro shop ever going to be as profitable as a diesel shop on there? And all the other regional and trend-specific questions is exactly what we're going to talk about this week. Before we get into that, I just want to stop and say thank you to you and the rest of the dedicated listeners. Reminder, if you want to hear your question answered on here, just have a question for me or an idea for a future episode, shoot me an email at podcast@parmelis.com. Don't forget to check out my new book, Beyond the Bays, a financial playbook for auto repair shop owners, which was inspired by many of your questions and most popular podcast episodes, is available now on Amazon.com in paperback and Kindle. Want to talk to us about accounting and tax services Parmelis offers auto repair shops like yours? Email us at info@parmelis.com. Last but not least, we cannot forget our dedicated sponsors for being such loyal supporters of the show. If you need to get your back office into shape, like I was just talking with one of my clients today, give Wicked File a call. If you need to recruit top talent for your top shop, give ProMotive a call. If you need to get your shop moving in the right direction, give Maverick Shop Owners a call. And if you need to get your marketing kicked into overdrive, then give Overdrive Marketing a call today. Great news. You now have a hiring partner to help you with the heavy lifting of hiring your next superstar. Introducing ProMotive, a full-service staffing solution for your auto repair shop. Visit them online at gopromotive.com. Turn chaos into clarity with Wicked File, the AI for auto repair shops. Transform invoices into insights, protect cash flows, and stop losing parts, cores, or credits to maximize your bottom line. Get Wicked File. Building a profitable shop is one thing. Building profit and freedom into the same business? That's what the Maverick Shop Owners video training is all about. Our listeners can get free access at maverickshopowners.com/blueprint. What happened if you knew next week's car count before it happened? Overdrive combines real marketing leadership with AI-powered campaigns through Overdrive OS. It predicts slowdowns, it launches offers, and tracks your ROI automatically. Stop guessing, start controlling growth, and visit overdrivemarketing.com. That's OVERDRYVE marketing.com. Like I talked about it in the intro, this is the third part of our three-week series going down through the benchmark report. In our 2026 report that is live, the link is in the show notes right now, so go grab that. You can get this and you can make your own assumptions, your own judgments, but what we're going to do is kind of go down through what we're seeing as regional trends. Labor rate is going to be different no matter where it is, but as we're about to find out, does it actually have any sort of barometer on how much profit we're expecting someone to take? Kind of tease us a little bit too of where our top shops located. Got some more data on that one for you as well. Then going down through some shop size. Is there a relationship between sales volume and profit? Is there a relationship between type of vehicles that you work on and profit? And even deeper on that one, is there some relationship there with some of those numbers? But are they really because of what you work on or how you're working on these kinds of things? Let's dive right into that. And one of the first things that I wanted to call out, I kind of teased this last time, and I don't think I had the data in front of me, is where did our top shops come from? And remember, guys, how we measure top shops is what percentage of your sales ends up in the owner's pocket. So if you have $100,000 in sales and $25,000 of that between either payroll or profit ends up in your pocket, then your shop is operating at what we call a 25% margin. 25% of the sales ends up in your pocket. That is a way to kind of measure efficiency. That's kind of a way to ignore size differences on there so I can have a $4 million shop next to a $1 million shop. At the end of the day, if the $4 million shop is taking home $1 million in profit, statistically speaking, that's the same as my $1 million shop taking home 250 grand. And that's kind of exactly what we saw in our top shops. Some of them were big shops. Some of them were small shops. Some of them were European shops. Some of them were diesel shops. But like we talked about, they all had one thing in common, which was productivity. Productivity is the leading indicator of how much profit someone is going to make, but there is so many other variables that come apart with this. One of the things that I have to give a quick shout out just goes into the different regions. If we look at the most profitable region, and what we have is Southeast, Southwest, Midwest, Northeast, and West. Where you fall in that one is pretty clear, except for some of you guys. I was kind of surprised on what we considered the Southwest or Southeast versus Midwest. But in generality speaking, you can kind of see the country split up into four distinct parts. We have clients in all 50 states, so we even have some people on there from Hawaii and Alaska. I'm curious of where those people landed. Luckily for them, none of them landed in our top shops and none of them landed in our bottom shops on here. But if we look at an overall average, the Southeast is going to take the cake this year. I don't have this in front of me, but I'm fairly confident that they were close, if not tied, with the Midwest last year. Midwest fell a good bit, and they are probably bringing up third place right now. Most profitable place from a percentage standpoint right now of all of our clients is going to be in the Southeast. Second most highest is going to be our Northeast. So shout out to the East Coast, really bringing up the averages. And then as we go farther west, it kind of starts falling down. Midwest, we're down at around 14%. West, we're at around 12%. And then if we go down to the Southwest, which is our lowest mark down there, they're at around 8.3% of profit. Does that mean that shops in those areas cannot make money or vice versa? Every shop in those areas make money? No, not at all. But there's still a lot to learn from here. I kind of teased this last time, but I know some of you might be curious, but pretty cool this year. I took a look at our top five shops on there. Two of our top five shops are in Maine. And if you do the top four, 50% of our top four shops are actually in the state of Maine. We have another one that is completely on the other side of the country. They're out in the Pacific Northwest on there. And then the other shop is actually in the Midwest. So if you want to look at this, where are our top shops? I guess, sorry to you guys in the South. We have none of them in the South. So they're all going to be above. I'm in Maryland, so we know the Mason-Dixon line. So top half of the country has pretty much all of our top shops. When the bottom half, we didn't see as much representation. There's been a lot of transition. There's been a lot of consolidation. I have had hundreds of awesome, awesome shops sold over the last couple of years. And some of this is going to be data driven on there, but we can still learn a ton. One of the first things that I wanted to highlight is our top shops were in the Northwest, right? West. And then I think the other one ended up in the Southeast, even though if you guys looked at it, you guys would probably call that the Midwest. But one of the things that I wanted to highlight right off the bat is let's take a look at our labor rate. Because a lot of people look at this and they're probably like, well, Hunt, the place with the highest labor rate is probably going to have some sort of success more than others. And actually, it is the exact opposite. Southwest, which is going to be like Texas, Arizona, New Mexico, probably, I don't think it goes into California, probably Oklahoma, maybe little parts of Colorado are going to be in there. They are bringing up the rear of our profitability. So on average, those shops are only keeping about 8.3% of their sales. You might be thinking to yourself, well, hon, it's harder. Stuff is cheaper down there, so the labor rate is cheaper. They probably have to do more of it to make the same amount of money. When in reality, that is not the case. Outside of California, which you guys have a unique market out there in some areas for whatever different reasons on there, my most expensive labor rate of any shop is in Texas, especially for general repair. I have a general repair shop in Texas that is over $300 an hour. And just as we can see on here, the Southwest is the leader in labor rates. We have an average of $185 an hour labor rate in the Southwest, generating only 8.3% of profit. Compare that to the Northeast, where we know two of our top four shops were. They're averaging $177 an hour, but keeping 17% of their sales. So if we're looking at this and we're saying, Hunt, how can we be charging more and making less? Well, we all know that there's a lot of variables beyond sales. What do you mean by that? Well, does it matter how much we're doing or how much margin we're making? Does it matter how much we're charging or the difference between how much we're charging and paying for our overhead? Or does it matter how much we're charging and how productive our technicians are? All valid questions and all something that I think could be learned on it, but is probably going to be different for a number of people. And this leads us to the next one, which is productivity. So if we were looking at this and we see these drastic differences on it, then we would expect to see probably difference in productivity as well. And what we see is really not the case whatsoever. We do have a bottom in productivity. The Midwest is the lowest in productivity, is the lowest in labor rate, yet still ends up making almost as much as our two other top areas. And as you can see on this one, we have a whole wall of text where you can go down through and look. But the general idea behind this is, yes, productivity is a very good indicator. If you have two shops in the same area, one of them has higher productivity than the other, this one's going to make more money. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. But what we're seeing is a couple different things. Different types of businesses are going to have different markups, especially on part side of things. And also the cost of living and the cost of your overhead is a major driver. How did the Midwest have lower productivity than the Southwest, but make money almost twice as fast? If you take a look at the overhead numbers of the average shop in the Midwest versus the Southwest on it, you're going to see drastic differences in cost. If you have sky-high overhead, if you have sky-high rent, can you still have a profitable shop? Yes, absolutely. But you are going to have to be very, very productive to make sure that you outrun that overhead as fast as you possibly can. In a year like we had in 2025, I think what we saw is especially some of these high overhead shops, some of these had a pullback in sales or a pullback in relative sales on it, which eroded a lot of their profitability along the way. This is tricky though, right? Because what this is looking at is kind of one of these things that you can't really change. Well, hey, Hunt, it looks like the Northeast is a much better place to do business. I'm currently sitting in New Mexico, so what can I do? Maybe I drive my sales. Maybe I increase my labor rate. Maybe I do something on it. But yeah, there is absolutely more than just where your shop is located. One of the things that I want to mention on here is I see this kind of thrown around a lot. Your shop is no different. I get the idea because what they're kind of saying there is a core idea of how you guys do business is all the same. Let's not overthink this. If you sell a ton of hours of labor and you make decent markup on parts, you're going to make a lot of money. But the deeper idea behind there and what is a true benchmark and how much you can charge and how much you can mark it up is all going to be definitely heavily favored towards your local market. I'll give you a great example on there of just kind of tactics and customs. Some of my clients have been charging credit card fees of 3% of every single one of their customers for 3 years without any pushback. There are also some clients listening to this right now that are laughing to themselves because you probably tried this in your area and it went over like a sack of bricks. Some markets will do certain things and other markets don't. Also, what we see in here is some markets are very inelastic to price. Hey, maybe you don't have a ton of competitors in your area. So if you double your labor rate, you might be able to keep all of your customers, or some of these other areas with more densely populated area might be a lot more price sensitive, and even a 10% increase could scare customers away. But what we also need to look at is shop size and type. Because what we're seeing on here is it's very hard to just say, all right, by location, how much can we learn from this? What can I kind of go in and change my business when you're not really going to be able to change your location that much? The cool part about this is some of these other things, we don't see a massive difference. And I'm not sure if that's a good thing or a bad thing, or makes us a little bit more confusing. But one of the ones that we looked at is a larger shop versus a smaller shop. If you want to know how bad inflation is, when we first did this report, I think it was more than $1 million in sales. That $1 million a year shop that we always use as kind of a barometer of a bigger shop or smaller shop is now up to 1.4 million. So I think that if you're thinking to yourself 3-4 years back on labor rate, we're talking 30-40% increase for the same shop, right? This is just you guys charging more for labor, and this is you guys charging more for parts because they cost more. Is your success guaranteed once you get over that magic $1.4 million mark? If anything, no. We do see a slight difference on it, but arguably it is indistinguishable. Our large shops are making around 15% net income. Our smaller shops are making around 15% net income. If anything, our smaller shops are actually doing a tad bit better, even though on average their labor rate is around $5 less. Does this mean that the secret to your success is increasing your business size? No. If you look at the numbers of our small shops versus larger shops, productivity, labor rate, overall profit on this are virtually identical. If we're saying, well, Hunt, the location is really hard to change and the size doesn't matter, what other kinds of things can we chop it up that do have some big differences? And the biggest differences that we look at is the type of vehicles that you guys work on. We kind of split you guys into three different categories. And there's some of you guys out there that don't really fit in each one of them, right? And we have to look at this and it's not an exact science. But it's getting better every single day. And as we be able to chop this data up more, we'll probably even be able to get a little bit more granular on this. But the overall idea that I've always kind of preached on this benchmark report is just kind of like I mentioned earlier. If you have a general repair shop in Kansas, how much can you learn of a benchmark from a European shop in Maine? I get you 100%. And that's why we split this up. So we got general, we got diesel, and we got European repair. Some of you guys dabbling a little bit on it, we're probably going to put you in a category that you do the most of. Is your recruitment process draining your valuable time and resources? What if there was a partner who could take your recruitment efforts off your plate? Look no further. Promotive is your ultimate solution for hassle-free staffing focused solely on the automotive industry. On the web at gopromotive.com. Promotive understands the challenges you face when searching for the perfect technician or service advisor for your shop. That's why we've developed a platform that takes the hassle out of recruiting. Michelle Tanzi from Euroclinic said, "I am a shop owner and recruiting new talent is so time-consuming. Promotive does the majority of the seeking and recruiting. They reach out to the candidates for you, and when they feel they are a good match for you and culture, they make the connection. They follow up throughout the interview process, and we make sure that the candidates are a good fit and the shop is a good fit for the candidates. I admire that they genuinely want both parties to win. They recruited and paired us with a solid B-Tech and Master Tech. Both left a dealership position and are still part of our team. We are very happy with the character and culture match, and both technicians have become valuable team members." Visit our website at gopromotive.com today and join the growing community of shop owners who have found their ideal team members with Promotive. Every month, auto repair shops can lose over $20,000 in uncredited parts, cores, and lost profits. Wicked Files' AI-powered software is a game changer. It helped one shop owner recover over $10,000 in missed credits, and others have recovered tens of thousands more. Wicked File puts cash back into your business and hours back into your day. Stop leaving money on the table. Visit wickedfile.com to learn more and get started today. You're working on growing a more profitable shop. That's critical. But the profit doesn't automatically give you the freedom or reduce your stress. That's exactly what the 24-video blueprint course by Maverick Shop Owners addresses. Customers, sales, profit, people, systems, and freedom. How to build profit and freedom into the same business. Get free access for our listeners only at maverickshopowners.com/blueprint. Most shops don't have a marketing problem, they have a systems problem. Overdrive.os was built to solve that. It's not another vendor. It's your AI-powered marketing operating system built specifically for auto repair shop. It predicts slow weeks before they happen, automatically launches revenue-driving campaigns, tracks ROI down to the dollar, and optimizes performance in real time. No guesswork, no wasted ad spend, no hope marketing, just predictable car count, stronger retention, and measurable profitability. Schedule a strategy call today and let's build your growth engine. Visit overdrivemarketing.com. That's OVERDRYVE marketing.com. What is the most profitable business to be in? Is it fixing F-350s? Is it fixing RVs, which are generally pretty profitable? Or is it fixing, you know, European vehicles, Jaguars, Land Rovers, whatever you want to work on, BMWs? From a percentage standpoint, and I'm going to come back to that in a second, the most amount of money that you can make is always going to be on general. It's a more commoditized service, there's going to be more of them. You have lesser skilled technicians, which definitely or generally cost you less money on it. You can rattle through the services a lot quicker. It's less specialized. The equipment is cheaper on it. The tools are cheaper. The parts are cheaper. You kind of get the general idea on here. One of the jokes that I always say on it is like, none of my top shops are ever working on anything cool, because generally the cooler it looks, the less money is going to be involved there. I was very clear on this of saying from a percentage standpoint, I'm going to come back to that in a second. But what we're seeing on this is on average, general repair shops are averaging around a 15% net income on it, where diesel and European shops are hovering around 12%. Right off the bat, I think you guys kind of have a general idea on this of, well, Hunt, that is doesn't make a whole lot of sense because European are probably selling this for more money and so are the diesel guys. Well, in reality, and as we can see on here, the diesel labor rate is actually lower than what the general repair is. General repair makes more money, whereas the European shops are higher. General repair shops in the country are averaging around $171 an hour for their labor rate, compared to around $150 and almost $200 for euro. But we've already beat that dead horse enough. Labor rate is not a good indicator on what makes a business profitable. One of the things that we do see that is a very good indicator is productivity. What has the highest productivity out of all of them? Well, again, if you guessed general or import, you're going to be wrong. European shops were our most productive shops. They didn't outpace them by that much, but it goes European at 57%, general repair at around 55%, and our diesel shops down at around 44%. If I'm looking at this and I'm saying, well, what do these diesel shops need to do to fix their business? It probably has nothing to do with labor rate, probably has nothing to do with location. And the reason that they're not making as much money is the productivity side of it. On the flip side of it is, well, Hunt, how can we have a European shop with higher productivity, higher labor rates, and still making less money? And this is where I'm coming to some generalities. This is where I'm coming to my own opinion, but it is backed up with data on here. If we look across the board on this, on how much people are making, we can see that overall gross profit between the three of them is kind of similar between general and European, and then diesel shops are lower. We're averaging around 53% gross profit on general and import. European is around 52% on it, whereas diesel's down at 48%. What's the biggest difference? It's probably parts margin, but again, on the European side, we're a bit skewed. Where the European guys generally lose money on it is you guys are generally selling parts for cheaper. We have around a 43% markup on Europeans versus general import is around 47%. It's because the parts are generally higher dollar items, falling into lower matrices. Maybe they're dealer-only parts that you guys don't get as good of pricing on it. But in any case on it, general is already around 4 points ahead on the parts gross profit side. As you might imagine, since the diesel shops were lower productivity, we also saw a lower gross profit margin on their side of things. On the front end, we had a double whammy between labor gross profit and parts gross profit on the diesel. For the European shops, and we do see this across the board, you guys will generally give up 2, 3, 4 points on the parts gross profit, but then on the flip side of it, you guys make it almost all of it back on the labor side. And that's kind of what we see here. We're around 3 or 4 points down on the parts gross profit side, but the labor gross profit is around 2 to 3 points higher. So if we look at overall overhead on this, what we're seeing is the European shops have the highest overhead. Generally, in a higher income area, maybe you have a bigger shop, maybe you need more things in there, but we see people spending almost 6% of their sales on rent and almost 40% of their sales on overhead, whereas the diesel shops are down only at 30%. Our highest overhead is on the European, which was almost the most profitable. And then we have our general repair, which was somewhere in the middle, and the diesel guys bringing up the bottom. Now, for overhead, that is a good thing to be lower. But as we just talked about before, we have less gross profit in, so even with a lower overhead on it, the diesel shops are still making less money. The reason that I have to remind you guys that this is from a percentage standpoint is percentages are one thing, but dollars and cents are what actually pays your bills. Right? And we deal with collision shops, we deal with general repair shops on it. And from a percentage standpoint, A collision shop is generally going to take twice the revenue to make the same amount of net profit. So if you have $1 million a year repair shop, you're probably going to have to do $2 million in a collision shop to make a similar dollar amount on it. But this is where kind of the similarities stop. And you got to be a little bit careful on percentages here, because if you only looked at percentages, then you probably would never sell tires, right? And like we've talked about the time value of money of, well, hey, it doesn't necessarily matter what the percentage is. If the dollars make sense, and especially the dollars in the frame of how long it takes us to make those dollars are in line. And that's kind of what we're seeing on this, is diesels are generally higher tickets. So from a percentage standpoint, they might be making less money. But if it's the same amount of inputs, it's the same amount of effort on there, you could actually have a diesel shop making more dollars and cents than the same general import. Kind of a hard idea to wrap your head around, but think about it this way. How much would you sell a bolt for that's $1? You probably say, well, you know, give me $3 for it. From a dollars and cents standpoint, you're making two extra dollars. That is not a whole lot, but if you want to look at a percentage margin on it, that's 300% markup. Really good. Think about something that costs $1,000. Would you ever be able to sell that for $3,000? And that's the general idea that you see on the European and diesel side, is as the stuff gets more expensive, as the tickets get bigger, as the parts costs get bigger on it, you're actually willing to take lesser percentage on it because the dollars and cents still work out to be around similar. Overall, looking at this, what do I think this is saying? Well, I think that if you want to look at it from a labor rate, even though this is not something that is directly indicated to profit, it did surprise me that the diesel sector on this was our lowest labor rate. Maybe that's a kick in the butt to the diesel industry out there of, guys, the general repair are outpacing you on labor rate, and a lot of these shops won't touch even half of what you guys are doing. And that's what we're seeing in a lot of these areas. Two of my top three shops were European shops. Even though it's statistically speaking, more general repair shops make money, you can have a super high performing diesel shop. You can have a super high performing European shop on it. You can be in the Northeast. You can be in the West. It doesn't matter, as long as the core ideas are stuck to, as long as you understand these numbers, and as long as you look at them. That was kind of my roundabout way of getting you guys interested and looking down through this. I wanted to highlight a couple other things that we added to this year that I think are really cool ideas. Would love to hear your thoughts on it. Would love to hear what you guys want to see for the future. Take a look at this. We got some industry partners that participated in this as well. But some of the industry outlook of what we're looking at, you know, this upcoming year, and maybe some concerns or opportunities. Parts costs going up, and the question is how much? So we had some tariffs. We obviously had some issues going on in the Middle East, which we are seeing surging prices on this. There is exposure, right? And definitely where your parts are coming from, what part of the world, you're going to have more of an exposure to that. But check it out. We kind of went down through, is this going to be more exposure for our large shops or small shops? And as we can see on here, the larger European shops are probably going to be the most impacted by this. You guys probably heard about this. If not, news to you, but there is a massive technician shortage. So you're thinking to yourself, well, Hunt, why is this getting hard? Last year, there was a 37,000 shortfall of the annual amount of technicians coming into the industry and what the industry actually demanded. What does that mean? That means that we don't have enough technicians and there's no one else coming in to replace them. So do you think that that means that the situation is going to get worse before it gets better, or maybe worse before it gets even worse? I don't know. Where are these people going? Well, like I said, some of them aren't even coming into the industry, but 67% of people leave before a year. That means that 7 out of every 10 people don't even make it 12 months in this industry and decide to throw in the towel. This is a funny statistic because I think if you ask any person that has a job, they've thought about leaving the industry, right? Like, I'm an accountant. I've definitely thought about leaving it. So I'm in that percentage. 90% of technicians have considered leaving the industry entirely. And why are these technicians leaving? The survey said the number one reason that people are leaving is the pay structure. 40% of technicians say that pay structure is the single most important thing that is either an issue going on or needed to be fixed, which is why they left. Again, went down through there and kind of said, where do people kind of have the most exposure on this one? Large or small, it doesn't matter. This is going to affect the most amount of people. Our diesel shops are the ones that are really feeling this, right? Because that is very specialized work. A lot of you guys are thinking this to yourself, well, Hunt, we don't even touch diesels because I don't have a diesel guy in the shop. Or a lot of my clients in the past used to do diesels, and if you lost your diesel person, it's not something that can be easily replaced. Now, it's not all doom and gloom on here. We do have some bright spots on this. 41% of vehicles on the road are overdue for a service. And like we said on here, that's not a problem. That's a pipeline. The vehicles that people have been driving are up for the second consecutive year. The average vehicle on the road is 13 years old. It is a massive, massive opportunity, and there is a lot of people delaying work on this. Now, we saw this during COVID, a tidal wave of everyone deferring all this maintenance, no one doing any work. And then as the tidal wave kind of built, it came and you guys rode that out. You are facing a lot of different outside factors here. Mainly, your customers are broke on this. So this is going to be a problem and kind of a benefit or a solution that we're going to see dragging on. These cars are getting older, the people can't afford to buy new ones on this, and they're delaying service. At some point, service or maintenance becomes a repair, but you got to make sure that you're strong and profitable enough that you can make it to the other side of this. This is another thing that kind of goes back to what we were talking about of some of these sales trends on here. You're still seeing the same amount of customers, but they're spending less with you. So my customers that did not expand their customer base saw a decrease in sales. Same amount of people coming in there, but everyone's saying yes less and spending less on it. It should be no surprise that sales are dropping. If you're looking at some another aspect of this of, hey, are these people trading their vehicles? I'm never going to see them again. No, right? You got to nurture them. These people are out there. They need to be reminded. This is why the clients that are doing digital vehicle inspections had so much success and did see the increases that they did. Last one on here, which is kind of funny because when I first did this report, I think we even talked about like hybrids were kind of going out of fashion. Probably 10, 15 years ago, I had a lot of you guys getting into the hybrid technology. And then a lot of that went away when the EVs come. A lot of the OEMs ditched EVs or ditched hybrids for the EV side of it. Toyota and probably the Japanese side is the major contributing factor. But 80% of shops reporting an increase in seeing hybrid vehicles this year. I don't think that Toyota makes a V8 anymore. They probably make one for the trucks. But I think just about every car and SUV that Toyota sells now is a hybrid V6 on this. In the past, you're like, hey, I don't like to see these batteries. I never want to see these again. And a lot of you probably thought that the hybrid side was dead once the battery side came in there. But like we're seeing, it is a new opportunity. People are jumping on it. It's a specialized service, but like we're going back to the technician side. If it's hard for me to find a general repair technician, how hard is it going to be to find a qualified, trained hybrid technician? Again, we went down on who kind of feels this most, but check this out. Make your own kind of assumptions or decisions. Until next year on the Benchmark Report, I hope you enjoyed that three-part series. If you did enjoy it, the best way that you could show a thank you to us is to share it with a friend, another shop owner that you think would like this. I cannot say thank you enough to my clients and the entire Parmelis team for making this effort happen. And like I teased this before with our new database and software on this, we're going to be able to deliver this to our monthly clients in a much more frequent manner on it and get down into some of these nittier, grittier details. So if you review this, you have questions, you have ideas for what you want to see in a future episode or a future benchmark report, I would love to hear it. Shoot me an email at podcast@parmelis.com. Don't forget to check out the benchmark report in the show notes. And if you're looking for an easier way to catch the show or learn more from Automotive Repair Podcast Network, just go to arpn.app. That's arpn.app. Download the free Automotive Repair Podcast Network app. Build playlists, share episodes, and so much more. So thanks again for joining me on Business by the Numbers. Stay safe out there, and I will talk to you all next week.
You've been listening to Business by the Numbers with Hunt Demarest on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network. Download our exclusive podcast app at automotiverepairpodcastnetwork.com because the best conversations in the industry start here. Have a question for Hunt? Check the show notes for Hunt's email or text Parmelis at 301-307-5413.